American Broadcasting Network, in cooperation with United Nations Radio, presents Julie Harris in Birthday Party.
Now please turn right, Hans. It's that building over there. The one with the sign at the entrance, Office of the High Commissioner for Refugees. Now, you leave me here and come back in half an hour. I have to be back in the camp by 6. Thank you, Hans. For a man who doesn't know the town, you've done very well indeed.
Hello, Erica.
Hello, Mr. Reeves.
Nice day, isn't it? I believe Mrs. Peterson has some rather interesting news for you.
Really? I had a feeling she would.
Well, you don't seem very excited.
Well, Mr. Reeves, you know how it is. We're waiting all the time. The years roll by and still we go on waiting. When something finally comes through, we don't dare believe it.
Erica, now you know, once you have the visa in your hands and the plane ticket...
I suppose that might make a change.
Of course it will. You're young, Erica. When you've really woken up to your good fortune, let me know, will you? I could do with a good excuse to paint the town red, and when I say red, I mean red.
What a gory idea.
That would shock the tourists, all right.
What have you got against the tourists, Mr. Reeves? They mean well.
I know they mean well, but there are so many of them, and they look at you with such vacant faces.
Well, what do you expect? It's an industry, or rather, a deep human experience, safely secondhand. You keep forgetting that.
Oh, no, I don't. But you see, I'm against all forms of industry on principle.
Cynic. Oh, well, I suppose I ought to be getting along. See you, Mr. Reeves.
See you, Erica. Bless you.
Mrs. Peterson?
Come in, dear.
How are you, Mrs. Peterson?
I'm all right, thank you.
I'm so glad.
So glad? Why? Do I look as if I'd been struck by lightning or something? I said I was all right. Surely there's no need to stare at me like that.
I'm sorry.
And how are you? You look a bit under the weather today, Erica. I've a feeling you've been spending too much time wondering when your application is going to come through, now that your mother...
Oh, no, Mrs. Peterson. I've always known for sure you'd get it for me one day.
Your confidence wasn't totally misplaced, my dear. Guess what I have here. Read it. I think it'll make quite a difference.
Just a minute, Mrs. Peterson. I must tell you something.
Oh?
I've become terribly attached to somebody. Oh, I wanted to tell you before so many times, but I never dared.
I see. Who is it? A man in the camp, somebody I know.
I'm afraid so.
Why afraid?
Well, because I know you don't like him.
My dear child, you know perfectly well I can't let myself get emotionally involved with any of you.
Oh, don't you? How about me?
I don't think you can accuse me of partiality. After all, I've made a point of doing you no special favors, ever. I must admit, though, we're only human. There is one man in the camp I just can't get myself to like. God knows I've made every effort in the world to meet him halfway, to come to terms with him, you might say, but it's just no good.
Yes, that does happen. In science, we call it chemical reaction.
Chemical reaction.
With one person, it's love, and with another, well... it's hate.
I only hope we're not talking about the same person. Erica, look at me. I can see it in your eyes. We are.
Please, Mrs. Peterson.
It's Victor Makowski, isn't it? Well, that's a fine piece of news. He must be at least 20 years older than you are. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have. It's none of my business. It can't be.
Please, Mrs. Peterson, can't you just forget for a moment that this is an office? And forget your job, forget your official responsibility. Can't we talk as one woman to another?
Not in here. Not right now. If we could, I'd be asking you what on earth did you see... what on earth could you see in that man?
I don't know. Perhaps it was... well, it was just that he's... he's so full of despair.
Now, don't you dare come and talk to me about despair as though it was some kind of positive quality. You know very well there's no room for despair in these offices.
Please don't be angry.
Oh, no. Mrs. Peterson mustn't get angry. She's just got to sit here and listen. I'm a representative of the Office of the High Commissioner for Refugees, and everybody knows very well that I'm supposed to listen objectively and sympathetically to your troubles, give you counsel, cheer you up, remove a lot of red tape to speed up each of your particular cases, shake some apathetic officials into action here and there, and then, if I'm lucky, start you off into some kind of new life. And all that, mock you, without getting emotionally involved with any of you.
Mrs. Peterson, I don't think Mother would have lived as long as she did if it hadn't been for you and everything you did for us.
Nonsense. Now, hadn't we better talk about this letter you don't want to look at? You know what's in it, don't you?
I think I've a pretty good idea. The obstacle, my sick mother, has gone. So now the U.S. immigration can give me a residence visa. Now I can go. I'm young. I'm healthy. And I'll be welcome over there. America is a land for the young. That's what everybody says.
You see, you've associated with that man and you've become bitter.
I haven't associated with him. As a matter of fact, he runs away from me all the time.
Well, if that's the case, how on earth do you know he loves you?
Well, I know. I can tell. I see it in his eyes. He doesn't speak to me, but he's begging for me with his eyes.
Yes, I suppose you are a woman, all right. Not a child anymore. Oh, well. There it is for you to decide. It's all ready. A visa for the USA and a 2-year scholarship to work on biological research at Yale University. I don't think I need to remind you of the long story behind this.
Yes, I know. I know it step by step. That's why it really breaks my heart to have to disappoint you. After all you've done through the years to get that visa and that scholarship for me. Oh, Mrs. Peterson, believe me, if I weren't so much in
love...
Pity
is that it didn't arrive sooner, then. Since you were all ready for love, you might have met someone over there.
Oh, and he might not have liked me. I think we look different, we people from these camps. We've seen too much and lived too much in too short a time.
What nonsense. You've always dreamed of going to America.
I know, the shining new world. But I don't anymore. I must be a bit sick in the mind, like all the others. Even if I went and met that nice young man you speak of, who knows, perhaps I might not like him. What would he have in common with me? We refugees belong with each other somehow. We know the limits of our world. We... Mrs. Peterson, look at me.
Erica, I can have no opinion in this case. But if I could, I would simply tell you one thing. You're throwing your life overboard.
Somehow, I don't think this is the end of me, Mrs. Peterson. Maybe I can change Victor.
Change Victor? What do you think we've been trying to do all these years? You think you know him better than we do?
Well, I know he's difficult, but what do you expect? What do you expect from a man who's torn away from everything, loses everything in a few days, his home, his children, and a chair at the university, and years later he is here in the camp, all set to go to a new country, to pick up his life again, and he learns that they won't have him because he's had the heart to take care of children with TB and has got TB himself. But of course you know all that.
Just a minute.
Well, what do you expect him to do? Give us a song and dance? And then at last, another ray of hope, a country that will accept TB patients and, what's more, will get them cured. All right. What can he do when they tell him, oh, no, you can't go there because we have to give preference to people with families and you haven't one anymore? Well, answer me, Mrs. Peterson.
You know that isn't true. Your Victor could have gone to Sweden, family or no family, if only he had been a little less sorry for himself and a lot more interested in starting a new life, in settling down.
Well, perhaps you're right. But the fact is, he's still here, and I'm in love with him.
That's no concern of mine, Erica.
But it is, it is. You and I are not two unknown persons meeting for the first time. I know how much compassion and love there is in your heart. You can't put me off with your lack of concern.
Oh, can't I? I should say I can when you make demands, impossible demands, that have little to do with my duty here. Oh, Erica, don't you see that I just don't want to talk about this? I cannot discuss your love for one of the men in the camp. Don't you know what it means to a woman of my age? With all that I've seen in the world, to have my hands tied as I watch you destroy your future? Just because you're young and this is your first love? What has possessed you so suddenly, Erica? We have nothing else to discuss. Nothing. I thank you for your visit and your sincerity towards me. At least I know where we stand. Now, there's only one thing left to do. File these letters in your dossier.
I see. Mrs. Peterson, don't believe I'm ungrateful. No one could have done more for me than you. Please forgive me. Mrs. Peterson, may I kiss you, please?
Don't be silly, Erica. Oh, all right, then. Goodbye.
Mr. Reeves?
Yes?
Seen Victor Makovsky around?
Upstairs.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Erica, listen. When are you leaving? Erica!
Victor?
Good afternoon.
Look here, Victor.
It's been Mr. Makovsky so far, Miss Eckhart. Why the sudden change?
Because I feel like it.
You must know I do not make friends easily.
I know, but you have one or two all the same, haven't you? Franz, for one.
Yes?
Then join us in a little party we're giving him this evening. It's a surprise.
And who is we?
Dearie, Mrs. Kahn and I.
Why? What's the occasion?
It's his birthday.
You know, birthdays at his age are ridiculous.
It's as good a reason as any other to get together. And I've made a cake with the almonds Mrs. Kahn got from France and some pennies we've saved here and there. And I'd like you to try that cake for business reasons.
For business reasons?
Yes.
Are you going into the pastry business? You know very well I don't have any spare money to spend on pastry.
Oh, don't be so rude. You have no right to be. Tell me, Victor, if you had a chance to go into business with France, would you?
Business? Are you crazy? You seem to forget that all the relief and charity institutions around here have me classified as an intellectual. That is, a risk. A hard nut to crack, a good for nothing. Young intellectuals are all right, they go to universities. But I, how would I fit into a business?
You can drive a car, can't you?
Yes, I can drive
all
a car.
All right, then you qualify.
You are crazy.
Well, I must be. More than crazy. Stark, staring mad to give my attention to a man who deliberately pushes me aside every time we meet, to feel friendly toward someone who wants no friends. Oh, it's madness, I know.
You mustn't feel friendly towards me. It's a waste of time. You're so so young.
You were going to say fine. Well, that's good enough for me. Go on now, pretend you're indifferent to my offer of friendship.
Miss Eckhart, I am a man who minds just his own business.
No, you're not, Victor, you're not. I've watched you. You need affection and friendship more than anybody else around here. Perhaps I'll break my neck in the effort, but I'm going to try and make you accept them from me. Victor. Oh, Victor. Thank you again, Hans. It was a very nice ride. Say thank you to the man, Victor.
Blast you, Hans.
Victor, you mustn't say things like that. He can read your lips.
Young lady, don't you dream for a moment that you're going to change me. Millions of men would have to come my way and prove to me that they are not a bunch of selfish, hypocritical, sadistic, blind louts.
Millions? You wouldn't have the time or energy. Just three or four real friends would be more than enough to change your feelings. If love doesn't.
Love will not. And don't be proud of love, Erica. It's an animal drive. Something you can feel even for people you despise.
Oh, no, it's so much more than that. Get cured first, then you'll see.
Erica!
Hush now, there she is.
Erica, had a good time in town? Did you get everything?
Oh, yes, I found two brands of coffee, Mocha and Colombian. The people at the shop told me they blend very well.
That sounds nice. And the cake, how's the cake?
Ah, we'll have to try it to see. It looks good. They have beautiful electric ovens in the bakery. Oh, I also got two bottles of Riesling wine, Mrs. Kahn.
Oh, that's fine, fine. It's so nice to have a drink every now and then. Oh, Mr. Makovsky, you'll come to our little party, won't you? I'm sure Franz would ask you to join us once he sees we have remembered his birthday.
You know where he is?
Yeah, I just saw him going that way. I have an idea he went into Mrs. Marinkovich's room.
Well, that's strange.
Yeah, I thought so, too. To go to her room right after she accused him of taking that Red Cross parcel she insists was for her.
Well, maybe he's having it out with her.
Yeah, but she's not there.
You certainly know everything about everybody, Mrs. Carr.
Well, I think one should keep well informed, that's all.
I'm going to see if he's in.
Ron!
Wait a minute, Erica. I'm coming with you.
Are you there, Franz? Answer me. Answer me.
Hello? Why didn't you answer?
I wanted to leave a note here. You know, Erica, I did take the parcel they sent Mrs. Marinkovich. I just wanted to admit it and apologize.
A very interesting lie, if one considers the fact that she received the parcel this morning. I saw the Red Cross officer give it to her herself.
Well,
what do you have to say to that, Franz?
Franz, don't look at us like that. What's come over you?
Nothing.
Nothing? Now, Franz, what are you up to? You know that this dirty hole we call our home here is sacred, don't you? Haven't you read the regulations of the camp? Now, what are you doing looking into the drawers here?
That's none of your business.
Erica, is he inside?
Yes, Mrs. Kahn. Would you please leave us alone for a minute? We're planning another little surprise.
Oh, another surprise? Oh, good, the camp is coming to life for us.
Yeah, please leave us.
Oh, well, of course, Erica. Shall we meet at 7 then?
All right.
I'll take care of everything.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mrs. Kahn.
Happy birthday, Franz.
Well, how on earth does she know it's my birthday?
We told her.
How did you know?
It's the 10th of December. Not a difficult date to remember.
Ah, yes, yes. Human Rights Day. That's a big joke if there ever was one. The right to life and liberty. The right to freedom of movement. And the right to a nationality. The right to social security. Ah, it sounds so beautiful.
Franz.
Erica, don't listen to him.
And what I love best in the whole declaration is the reference to the right to work. The right to work. Not to forget the right to participate freely in the cultural life of the community. You have quite a memory, Erica. This is a great day for all of us, this day of human rights. And that most noble declaration, doesn't it seem to have been conceived for us? Almost dedicated to us refugees. Victor, get away from there. Leave that where you found it.
I want to take a good look at it first.
You son of a...
Franz! Stop it! Stop it! Victor can't fight! Think of his lungs! He mustn't!
Look at this, Erica. We came just in time.
Oh, no, Franz. You would never do that.
Oh, wouldn't he? What do you think this noose is for? An ironical little present for Mrs. Marinkovich. That woman has always kept all kinds of strings and ropes here. I like your macabre sense of humor, Franz. She's always been quarreling with you. So wouldn't it be a delightful little shock for the lady to come in and find you hanging from the rafters?
No, no.
Nice melodramatic imagination you have, Victor.
Oh, Franz, Franz. Were you really going to do it?
Don't I have the right to? Or isn't that right listed in your Universal Declaration of Human Rights?
Franz! Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I forgot you were such a religious girl. You're lucky to believe.
She's right in asking you why.
Do you know which birthday this is for me?
Your 45th?
I look at my eyes. Look! I look at them! They have lost almost all their color. They are the eyes of an old man.
Yes, but look at the way you walk. You've got a youthful figure.
Oh, it's just about all we can boast of with our diets. Trim figures.
You're not 45. You're 50 today, aren't you?
Yes.
50. It's a bad moment for men who lead a normal life.
50 years old, and the doors of the world close on you. 50, and you become an X-man. When you're 50, your name is taken off all lists. You know, the lists marked eligible for abroad. 50, and you're through. Finish.
You could work with us here in town.
Now doing what? I don't want to stay here. Everything here reminds me of the war and what led to it. I've always wanted to go to a new country and see new faces. Young faces.
Listen to me, Victor. I know we can get a loan from the UN office. And there's an old house I've seen. We could rent that, maybe reconvert it ourselves, and start a bakery. Oh, now listen. We could make things which you can't find elsewhere in town. English cakes and donuts. Now listen, Victor. I'll do the baking and serve the customers. You, Franz, could keep the books and do all the buying. Then what we need is an old van. We can get that for next to nothing. And, Victor, you could drive it. Deliver and take orders from regular customers.
Yeah. An economist, a philosopher, and a brilliant student of natural sciences, furiously devoting all their talents to the making of donuts. Splendid. I suppose that is what the reports of the United Nations High Commissioner's Office describe as integration of intellectual refugees.
Franz, it's easy to be sarcastic, but it will be our shop, our business.
The right to cook people's favorite donuts.
For pity's sake, Franz, you're getting on my nerves. I understand how you feel today, but look, other people have feelings too. This has been quite a day for me as well.
What do I care about other people? What do they care about me? The doughboys of World War I, they used to call themselves in a charming fit of self-pity, the forgotten men. But when you really forget a man, as the world has forgotten us, then there is not even a tag for him.
Franz, come back, or if you won't think it over, we three can have a fine time working together, and we need you. You can help Victor to get well, and you can help me to feel a bit happy.
Why? Why must I? The next time you come to me with any of your silly little schemes, Erica, I swear to God I'll kill myself before your very eyes.
You fool. Erica. I don't think. I know Franz is over the worst. But give him time. We all need time to adjust. That can't happen overnight.
And you, Victor, my dear. What about you? What are you going to do?
I am going to do every single thing I can to make you get out of here and go to America.
And if I don't?
Erica, we'll cross that bridge when the time comes.
Oh, I hope that time is on our side, more than it is with France and the others. It must be. Even this crooked kind of time, which is the only one we can recognize, hours that last a lifetime, years that slip by with nothing to mark them, as though they were ours. Oh, come on, Victor. Let's join Geary and Mrs. Kahn and have a glass of wine and a piece of cake. There won't be any birthday party, but anyway, we can drink to the days to come.
In books, in plays, in films, you're very likely to see the following sentence. The characters portrayed in this story are entirely imaginary, and any resemblance between them and persons living or dead is entirely coincidental. So too in the account you've just heard, but not entirely. This is fiction, but fiction based largely on fact. For though the story of Erica, Victor, and Franz was a work of imagination, their cases might well be among the hundreds of dossiers now on file in the UN High Commissioner's office. The decisions which faced them could face any refugee. That is, if he or she is one of the lucky ones for whom an opportunity arises. And these opportunities can arise. Thousands of refugees have gone to new countries and started new lives. Even refugees with TB can now go to countries to be cured and resettled. And refugees can become useful citizens of the countries which now give them shelter. It is the ardent hope of the United Nations High Commissioner's Office for Refugees that within 3 years, the camps will be a thing of the past. Close the camps by 1960. It sounds so easy. But we're dealing here with men and women and children, not with real estate. It takes time, it takes organization, it takes money. And for so many, the best years of their lives are slipping by. Close the camps by 1960. This is the target. It can be done. But only if governments, voluntary agencies, and people all over the world do everything they possibly can. Everything that is humanly possible.
There are two ways in which you can help. Funds are urgently needed. Please send whatever you can to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, United Nations, New York. If you feel that you can do more, please write to the United Nations High Commissioner's office. The address is simple, United Nations, New York. You have been listening to Birthday Party, a moment in the life of European refugees from World War II, written by Arturo Despuy. Julie Harris played the part of Erica. Edith Atwater was Mrs. Peterson. Carol Stepanek was Franz. Woodrow Parfrey played Victor, Connie Lemke, Mrs. Kahn, and Jack Livesey was Mr. Reeves. Music by Ruth Welcome. This program was produced by United Nations Radio and presented by the American Broadcasting Network.